Yes, there is an application to it. Yes, there is something for you and I to do, but it comes first out of who we are. And who are you? What are you defined by? You are defined by what you believe.
Can mere knowledge or understanding produce peace? Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Jeremy Pearsons illustrates how your confessions and your beliefs control every aspect of your daily life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I am your host this week, Jeremy Pearsons. And I am honored to be filling in for my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland. He called me a couple of weeks ago and said, Jeremy, I need you to do some broadcasts for me. And I said, yes, sir. And I'm happy to do it. I'm honored to do it. I'm just honored to sit here at this in this chair, at this table with this bowl of fruit and looking at this camera. I mean, every bit of this is an honor for me. And it's a great honor to come into your home or your work or wherever you are watching or listening to this. I'm just so grateful. The things that the Lord has put in front of us at this ministry to do, it's such an honor. I can't tell you how rich this feels and just the knowing that being obedient to the Lord, doing what He's called you to do, and beyond that, to sit here and be a help to not just Mimi and Papa, but Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I mean, these people are ones who have given their lives to serve the Lord. And I'm a testimony, I'm an eyewitness to it. I've been many places in this world. And just last year in Africa, running into people. And I literally mean just running into people. I got on a plane in Cape Town, South Africa, headed to Johannesburg. And there was a guy that caught my eye in the terminal. And I don't know what it was about him, but he just caught my attention. And I thought, man, this is a sharp-looking guy. And Sarah, my wife, was there with me. And we just... This guy just, for some reason, stood out to me, and just a well-dressed man and carried himself well. Well, we got on the plane, and guess who sat down next to me? And I thought, well, this is interesting. This guy that had really caught my attention in the terminal, and we sat down, and he pulled out a Miles Monroe book and a book on ministry. And I looked at him and said, are you in the ministry? And he's a native African, and he said, yes, I am. And pastors many churches, and he said, are you? And I said, yeah, I pastor. I'm from America. I pastor there in Texas, and I'm a part of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And oh my gosh, that flight from then on, this man, he could not stop talking about what an impact Kenneth and Gloria had made in his life. Talking about, the moment I said that, I said, yeah, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I have Kenneth Copeland's picture in my office on my desk. He has saved our lives. He has ministered to us. And this was not a church meeting. This was not a small group. This was not Bible study. This was an airplane. This was flying from one city to another on a continent all the way across the world. And so to sit here and represent that man, represent who he represents, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an honor. I'm great. I'm grateful. And I can't express how thankful I am, how thankful my wife Sarah and I are to be a part of a ministry like this, integrity and built on the integrity of the Word of God. So all that to say, thanks, Papa. I appreciate it. I appreciate the chance to come and sit here and talk and allow the Lord to do what He's going to do. We began yesterday talking about some things where faith is concerned. We jumped into some scripture and we found, number one, that people don't talk about nothing. People aren't out there talking about nothing. They're not in groups of conversation, hidden rooms, backroom conversations discussing nothing. It's always about something. The Apostle Paul wrote time after time after time. He says, I heard about your faith. Somebody's talking to me about your faith. They've been talking to me about your love. And it wasn't just faith and it wasn't just love. It was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was love for all the saints. And you know what? It should be no different for me and for you today. People everywhere should be talking about your faith, not just your faith in the Lord Jesus. What I want to do right now is pray over this broadcast. We're going to jump back into the Word and continue to study some of these things today. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word today. We come once again boldly with confidence before the word of God, and we expect to see and to hear and to know and to understand. Father, we open our hearts and minds, eyes and ears to you today. You speak, we'll listen. If you correct us, if you need to correct us, then do it. We are correctable. If you need to direct us, then do it. We are directable. Wherever you want to put us, whatever you want to do, oh, we are yielded to the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. Father, I pray over this audience that's watching, and I thank you, Lord, for giving them eyes to see and ears to hear. We thank you for this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's jump back into the Word. I want to read some of these scriptures that we've been going over about faith in the Lord Jesus. This is the foundation of faith. When you begin to study faith and you're looking for the foundation of it, you're looking for the beginning of it, it begins with faith in God. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And you may be saying, yeah, but I want to hear about faith for increase, faith for finances, faith for healing, faith for relationships. I'm talking to you about faith for. But you can't talk about faith for until you determine and know and understand faith in. Because faith for is dead until there is faith in. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. Listen to this out of the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Well, that's good. You live by faith, but that's not where the scripture ends. That's not the complete thought. That's not the statement he made. He said, I don't live in this life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, we are famous for our faith. We are famous for our confession of faith. We are famous for our stand of faith. We are famous for our walk of faith. And Paul said in the book of Romans, your faith has been heard of around the world. But for our study and for our time in the Word, we are going to make that a complete foundational statement of faith. And every time we say that word, every time we see that word faith, we are going to put on it faith in Jesus. So when you say to yourself, I'm walking by faith, faith in who? I'm walking by faith in Jesus. Every time you say to yourself, well, I just don't have faith for that right now. And I think that's a convenient way of saying, I don't want it. I don't need it, or I can't have it. And I don't think anybody would say that, but I think we've put some Bible words around saying, well, it's okay if we'd say, I don't have faith for it. But what are you saying? I don't have faith in the Lord Jesus for that? Is there something that he hasn't done for you? Is there something that is still unaccomplished, that is still unfinished for you? Is there something that the blood of Jesus doesn't cover? Is there something that the work of the cross did not complete? Because every time I say I don't have faith for that, or my faith isn't there yet, I'm literally saying I don't trust you that much. And I don't want to say that. I'm correcting myself right now as I sit here. So if you're corrected too, then listen, you're not alone. I don't want to say that. I want my life of faith to be lived by faith in the Son of God. Galatians chapter 3, 22, verse 22, but the Spirit has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This life of faith is about faith in Him. I want to pull out something here that we just read in Galatians chapter 3. He said, the scripture has confined all under sin that the promise might be, or the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. Turn in your Bibles, if you've got them with you, to Mark chapter 9. And I want to read an account here out of the life and ministry of Jesus that we're going to, this is going to help us. This is going to continue to lay this foundation of faith in Jesus. This is a familiar story to you in Mark chapter 9. Look at verse 22. Kind of catch you up on what's going on here. The disciples had been away from Jesus, and a father brought his son to these disciples. Now, his son was just, he had been riddled with seizures and convulsions and was obviously tormented by the devil. The disciples prayed for him. Nothing happened. They came to Jesus. In verse 22, the father says to Jesus, often he has this sickness, this torment has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. And he said, the man says this to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, this man came to Jesus with a great need in his life. And I think you and I can identify with that. We have all been at the place where we have need of something in our life. This man came to Jesus where the life of his son was concerned. And he said, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus says, if you can do something, it's not about what I can do. I can do it. I've got the ability. This potential is in me. He said, if you can believe, because for him who believes, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. And the father says to him immediately, it says in verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Other translations say, help my weakness of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe. Now, the word of God, I ended yesterday's broadcast by saying this to you. This study, this focus on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is witnessing to my heart saying, this is designed to take the pressure off of you. There are so many people working and trying to get something that's already been given to them. Just take the pressure off of you right now. Every time you make a confession of faith, you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You take that focus off of you and you put it on Him. And Jesus says something here that it sounds like it's contradicting what I'm saying, but He says something here. He says, it's not about what I can do or what I'm able to do. It's, can you believe? And you're saying, Jeremy, I thought we were taking the pressure off. We are taking the pressure off. The only thing for you to do is believe. Let everything else you do come out of what you believe and in whom you believe. The only thing Jesus required of this man was belief. He did not say, if you can confess, all things are possible to him who confesses. He did not say, if you can memorize, or if you can give enough, or if you can quote enough, all things are possible to him who quotes. No. All things are possible to him who, say it with me, believes. Believing is the work of the believer. I am a believer. It's who I am. And it's what I do. Now, everything that comes out of my life from that point on should be a reflection of what I believe. Yes, I confess the Word of God. Yes, I make confessions of faith. Why? Because I believe it. That confession comes out of who I am. It's not just something I do. This walk of faith, this application of faith is not some ritualistic works program, some mechanical program. Yes, there is an application to it. Yes, there is something for you and I to do, but it comes first out of who we are. And who are you? What are you defined by? You are defined by what you believe. Now, if you look at this account in Scripture and many, many others, you find that this man got what he came for. We may take some time, if the Lord leads us in this direction, to look throughout the ministry of Jesus and study people who got what they came for. I think all the time about Jairus in Mark chapter 5, who even a man of reputation, a ruler of the synagogue, he dug through that crowd. When Jesus got off that boat, Jairus was standing there. Why? Because he had a need. His daughter was lying at home at the point of death. And you look at what happened in that man's life, he got what he came for. That whole account interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood, did she get what she came for? Yes, she did. It must mean faith is present. But if you think about every one of these instances, could this man in Mark chapter 9 who had a need where his son was concerned, was he approaching Jesus that day based on 1 Peter 2:24? No. He never even heard of 1 Peter 2:24. Who's Peter? Is there a second Peter? Why is there a first Peter? Maybe there's a third Peter. Who's Peter? I don't know. What is 2:24? What are those? I don't know what they say. Now, you and I know what it says. By his stripes you were healed. But there were no stripes on Jesus' back at this point. He had not gone to the cross. Did this man get what he came for because of that? No, impossible. What was his faith in? Jesus. Nothing more than Jesus. He heard that Jesus was there. And what did that hearing do? It produced believing in him. It caused him to seek Jesus out wherever he was, whatever he was doing. And it didn't matter if he was interrupting. It didn't matter if it was convenient. And I'll tell you something else. He wasn't standing there with his arms folded and saying, well, if this Jesus guy really loved me, he'd come to me. Now, that's what a lot of us have been doing. If God really wanted me to have this, he'd bring it to me. If God was really this good, he'd do it for me. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. And this man cried out, I believe! Help my unbelief! And if Jesus was standing there looking at you face to face and said, all you have to do is believe, what would you say? Well, I just don't know if I can believe that. No, you wouldn't. Whether you believed it or not, you'd yell out, I believe it! And if I don't, help me believe it. That's what this man said. Did he get what he came for? Yes, he did. That must mean faith was on the scene. Faith in what? Scripture? Well, I don't think so. Faith in what? His confession of faith? I don't think so. Faith in the work of the cross? Cross hadn't been worked yet. That scripture was nothing more than prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. It was not completed. It was not fulfilled. But this man came in faith in Jesus. Jairus came with faith in Jesus. That woman with the issue of blood came with faith in Jesus. Now, you listen to that and you may be thinking, yeah, well, these people had Jesus standing right there in front of them. If I had Jesus standing in front of me, I could get it too. Well, hold on. What did Jesus say about that? John chapter 16, he talking to the disciples, saying, hey, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's better for you if I go away. Now, can you imagine being a disciple standing there hearing that? You've spent every day of the last 3 years with Jesus. You've seen things you've never seen. You've heard things you've never heard. You've watched people who couldn't walk get up. People who couldn't see, now they can. People who couldn't hear, now they hear. People who were dead, now they're alive because of Jesus. And now this Jesus is telling you it's better for you if I'm not here? Yet that's what he said. So for you and I to say, well, I would believe if Jesus were here in front of me, that is faith in reverse. Because Jesus said it's better for you if I go away. Why? Because the Spirit is coming. and he's going to take what is mine and he's going to tell it to you. Let me read some of these scriptures to you about believing, about being qualified, defined by what we believe. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You've heard this one before. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now, does this scripture say if you confess with your mouth and do a lot of good works, you'll be saved? No. If it did, that's what I'd be preaching to you. If this scripture said if you confess with your mouth and clap with your hands, you'll be saved. That's what I'd be preaching to you. If this scripture said if you believe with if you confess with your mouth and stomp with your feet, that's what I'd. But it doesn't. It says confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Can we talk enough about believing? No, we can't. Romans chapter 1, listen to this, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who, what? Believes it. Salvation is for those who believe it. Now notice this. And here in Romans 1, it says this gospel is the power of God to salvation. That word too is this little Greek word EIS, just a tiny little word, and it means resulting. It's the result of. So here you have the inherent power of the Word of God. And here it is ready to explode in your life, and it produces salvation the moment I what? Believe it. It's powerful, but it's not powerful in me until I believe it. There is healing power in this word, but not healing power in me until I believe it. There is saving power in this word. Now, I don't care what denomination, I don't care what school of thought or doctrine you believe in. We can all get together on that. There is inherent power in the word of God to save you. Let's get together on that. Let's believe in that. And the result of the word of God mixed with you believing unto the result is salvation. And you may be saying, I don't know if I believe in miracles. I don't know if I believe in speaking in tongues. I don't know if I believe in this prosperity. Listen, forget all that. Let's come together on this. We can believe. Faith at its foundation is nothing more than believing in Jesus and His Father God. We're out of time. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment.
Does God have a plan for me?
What am I supposed to do with my life?
Now what do I do?
What are your life questions? Discover God's plan for your life and stay on course with it. Kenneth Copeland Ministries introduces Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal. An exciting new curriculum that will help you discover step by step God's plan for your life. Based on the New York Times best-selling book, God's Master Plan for Your Life by Gloria Copeland, this personal, in-depth Bible study includes a 5-disc DVD video teaching with Gloria, a 5-CD set of the entire teaching, and a one-of-a-kind interactive workbook and journal. Learn practical ways to apply biblical truths that bring answers to your life questions. Connect with God's plan for your life in a deeper way and make your destiny a reality. Order Gloria Copeland's new video curriculum at a special price of $49.95, a 40% savings for the entire curriculum package. Visit kcm.org and order online, or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, a comprehensive study tool will take you into a total immersion experience in God's Word. Order your personal set today.
Say this after me. I am a believer. It's who I am, and it's what I do. We are talking about the foundation of faith, and faith begins in the life of a believer the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. The moment you say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I want to pray with you today, and I want you to say this after me. If you've never prayed this prayer, then pray it now with all your heart. And when you believe what you're saying, it will come to pass. Say this, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you and I repent of all my sin. I believe with my whole heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, spent time in hell, and was raised again for me. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. Jesus, be the Lord of my life, now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to hear about it. We want to hear here at KCM, we want to know what's going on in your life. And if you did pray that for the first time, then my grandfather's got some books that he wants to send to you. This is our salvation package, and this is absolutely free. You just write and let us know. You call, you get online, do whatever you've got to do to let us know that you prayed that prayer, and let us sow this into your life. It will help you begin your walk with God. And right along with that, my grandmother is offering this, Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life. This is the curriculum, the workbook, the journal. I'm telling you, if you know the plan of God for your life, what are you missing? What's not there? What did God leave out? Nothing. You need to get this. You need to make this a part of your life. If you've got need of anything, if you've got something that you'd like for us to agree with you in prayer on, please call this ministry. We've got ministers not only here in our offices in America, but in Canada, Australia, Europe, South Africa, Ukraine, all over the world. We are ready to pray with you. Join me again tomorrow as we discuss faith in the Lord Jesus. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland when you log on to our website at kcm.org.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
The greatest accomplishment in this world could never compare to the excellence of knowing Jesus. Be defined by Him.